Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It's time to get up with the best in the NBA East. Are Giannis and his champion Bucks still the kings of the conference? We'll discuss. Plus, Bruce Arians, I'm sorry, you said what? Borderline insanity from the former Bucks coach about TB12. But is he right? We're going to talk about it. And do Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs have some tricks up their sleeve when it comes to the NFL draft? Let's get this whole thing started. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Get Up. I am Shea Cornett filling in for Greeny. This guy is Jordan Cornett. This is Chris Canty. We've got some more friends with us as well. Jeremy Fowler, Zach Lowe, Rob Ninkovich, all here to get in on the party. But we are going to start things off in the NBA because time is a-ticking in the regular season. Boston Celtics, we're visiting those reigning champs, the Milwaukee Bucks. And Giannis Antetokounmpo start things off here late in the second, Bucks up 7. Attacking, nice finger roll to go. And so the Bucks are going to lead by 9. Final seconds of the half here. Jrue Holiday sends it up. Brooke Lopez, nice alley-oop. Bucks lead 69-59 heading in to the break. Third quarter, Celtics trailing by 7 at this point. Jaylen Brown takes the handoff, drains the triple. Celtics cut the lead to 4. Less than a minute later here, that's Marcus Smart. Nice. Smart had 29 points in this one, and the Celtics tie the game. Fourth quarter, Bucks trailing by 1. Giannis driving, scores at the cup, give me and 1. After the made free throws here, Bucks go up by 2. Giannis had 29 points, 11 boards. Holiday here driving, misses, but there to clean it up, and the Bucks take a 3-point lead. 43 seconds to go, same score. Celtics ball sideline out of bounds. Daniel Tice gets the ball under the rim, but he's going to miss the shot. Bucks hang on to win it, 127-121. Let's go another game, going on in the East. Sixers visiting the Raptors, first quarter here. 76ers up 15-2. Harden finding Joel Embiid, dunks it home. Sixers were cruising early. Late second quarter, Sixers lead down to 2. Embiid jumper in the lane, that's good to go. They take a 4-point lead into the half. So let's pick things up, third quarter here. Raptors trailing by 3. Pascal Siakam drives to the paint. Floater to go. Raptors down 1. Late in the third. Tie game at 82. Siakam again. He's going to pull up. Mid-range. Sinks it right over Embiid, too. Raptors take the lead. They go up by 2 heading into the fourth quarter. So just over 130 remaining. Sixers trailing by 6. Harden's going to lose control of the ball. Raptors push ahead. Scotty Barnes, nice easy dunk on the other end. 30 seconds remaining now. Siakam drives, spins, can't get the layup to go, but he's there for the tip-in and the foul. Siakam pumped about it. Raptors go on to win. Here's Doc Rivers on if the Sixers have their number.
I don't think they have. I still don't think they have, you know. But if you think that, that's fine. I don't. I'm fine. Like I said before the game, we will roll it up with anybody that wants us in the first round. That's how we feel.
Oh, Doc means business. The Bucks win over the Celtics, coupled with the Sixers' loss, moves Milwaukee now into the 2 seed in the East. ESPN's Basketball Power Index gives the Bucks a 36% chance to keep the 2 seed, but beware, that might lead to a first-round matchup with the Nets. More on that later on, but let's welcome in these NBA dudes, shall we? Jordan's here with me. Perk, good morning. Zach, good morning to you guys. And so let's start with this. It looks like we could end up getting here a Raptors-Sixers first-round matchup. And so, Jay, I'll start with you first. Is Philly at real risk of losing that series if they do get the Raptors out of the gates?
Shay, I can tell you, you would not want to spend your life alongside Doc Rivers. If you get on me for not dealing with reality and not being able to admit reality, you'd have a problem here because Doc's not dealing in reality. And when you look at this, it's very clear to me, Philly's going to lose in the first round of the Toronto Raptors. I'm going to tell you why. Let's start with James Harden, who is shades of his former self. And in that highlight that Shea was discussing, we would see James Harden drive that ball, and he'd be disrupted by what Toronto presents defensively. Long athletes that pack the paint make it difficult for James Harden. Okay, so you've got Joel Embiid. He went for 30-10 in this game. Well, he better find ways to go for 40 against this Toronto Raptors squad. A Raptors defense, by the way, that you heard Joel Embiid say, this might be the most aggressive defense that I go against. And Nick Nurse switching things up, making it challenging for Joel Embiid to get his. When Embiid is not playing like Hercules and he's off the floor, this group is incredibly vulnerable. I love the Toronto Raptors. They're kind of like a poor man's Heat squad to me, Shay, in how they go about it.
Poor man's Heat squad. Perk, what say you? What do you think about that?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You know, Shay, my grandmother had a saying when I used to say some crazy stuff. She used to say, God bless your heart, baby. You don't know no better. And that's what I'm telling Jordan right now. Listen, here's the thing, okay? When you look at this Toronto Raptor team, I'm not taking anything away from them. I think they're playing exceptional basketball. But it comes down to superstar power. And Joel Embiid is an MVP candidate. Probably should be the front runner. It's between him and Jokic. That's a whole nother story. But let me take you deeper inside what's going on. Last night, what I witnessed, I saw that Nick Nurse showed his hand. And the one thing that you don't do before the playoffs is show your hand. And when I say show your hand, it's those defense, that matchup zone defense, because now you give Doc Rivers and the Philadelphia 76ers a chance to actually go and break down film. Go and break down film against them to show Embiid different spots and put him in position to be successful. James Harden is not going to struggle throughout this series. It comes down to star power. Look, we could talk about slowing down Embiid, but the fact of the matter is that Joel Embiid is going to be the best player in this series. Joel Embiid could actually dominate this series. They're too light in the front court. They don't have enough size. And what Joel Embiid and James Harden do a great job of, getting to the free throw line. That matters. You get guys in foul trouble, you don't have enough bodies to throw at Joel Embiid throughout a 7-game series.
Hey, Perk, if we were playing a drinking game and it was how many times you use the word Joel Embiid, we'd all be 10 sheets to the weekend here. Look, Joel Embiid is a big piece of what they do, obviously. But Joel Embiid going for 30 and 10 and playing 40 minutes, it's what happens in those other 8 where you're spotting the opposition 10 points. And as for Nick Nurse showing his hand, I know it's going to be hard for you, of all people, Perk, to admit this, but if you're going Nick Nurse or Doc Rivers in the postseason, who are you really picking? Nick Nurse didn't show his hand because he showed so many different ways. We saw that pick and roll and how they treated James Harden. They showed one way, they showed another. They're not showing their hand right now.
All right, let's get Zach Lowe here in on the conversation because he's with us here this morning. Zach, what do you think about this? Jordan thinks that if the Raptors and the Sixers match up, the Sixers could be bounced in the first round. Perk disagrees and says Nick Nurse already showed his hand and we saw it last night.
No. He didn't say he think they could. He said that they were going to win.
Yeah, okay, give me the Raptors. I said give me the Raptors.
I didn't mean to give him an out. He said they definitely will win. What do you think, Zach?
Can we just settle down? It's too early for this level of animosity. Everyone settle down. Here's where we are. I'm prepared to say this. This is a coin flip series. The Raptors are really good, and they love this matchup. Last season, Joel Embiid came on my podcast and he said, there's one team I hate playing against, Toronto, because they swarm me with all these 6'8 dudes with long arms from all kinds of different angles, and they make me give up the ball, and I never know where the double's coming from, and I hate it. It's miserable. And Perk, you mentioned superstar power. That's what the Sixers are betting on. I'm waiting on their second superstar to play like a superstar. James Harden is shooting 40% as a Sixer. He's shooting 53% at the rim, for the season. He couldn't beat Precious Achiuwa off the dribble last night when it mattered. I felt more comfortable with Tyrese Maxey with the ball in his hand. That's great for Tyrese Maxey, not great for James Harden. It wasn't their idea. If this is the James Harden, Toronto has a real chance.
You know what? Let me warn both of you guys for that James Harden has tricked us plenty of times. We thought he was fat and out of shape when he was coming out of Houston and he showed up in Brooklyn and started putting up numbers. We thought that he was out of shape and we thought he had a hamstring injury before he arrived in Philadelphia, and then he started putting up big numbers. Don't let this version of James Harden trick you. He does have an on and off switch. Not taking anything from the Raptors, but if I'm banking on this series, I'm going with MVP. Joel Embiid, and I said it one more time for you, Joy. So I got another drink in my system.
Perk, I love you. I love your grandmother. You're talking about being fooled a bunch of times? The postseason, we've seen consistently who James Harden is. And now you're going to tell me, forget all those failures in the postseason from prime Harden. Give me the lesser Harden, who, by the way, Zach mentioned the struggles last five games. He shoots 32% from the field with 19 turnovers. This is definitely the one you don't want to trust.
All right, we'll leave this here. We're going to revisit it later on, because as we approach the NBA playoffs, obviously it gets people heated even at 8:09 Eastern. Guys, thank you very much. We got to move to the NFL, so because some news from the Buccaneers yesterday. Fresh off retiring from coaching the Bucs, Bruce Arians went on Arizona's 98.7 FM and an interesting thought on the success of the Bucs offense the last few seasons. He said this: I get credit, and Brady gets way too much credit for what Byron does with our offense. Again, this is what Arians told Sports 98.7 FM. One of the reasons I hope he gets all the credit he deserves this year is to get a coaching gig. You know, he had about four or five teams real interested last year. So obviously, guys, this now opens up a question as to who really deserves the most credit for the Buccaneers' success. And so, Nink, I'll go with you first here, our resident Patriot. Do you think Tom Brady gets too much credit for what the Buccaneers were able to accomplish offensively?
Well, doesn't the quarterback that throws the football and score and actually throws the passes to score touchdowns get most of the credit? So, I mean, you look at the Saints and Sean Payton and Drew Brees. I mean, Drew Brees got a lot of credit for all the things that he was able to do. So I understand a little bit where he's coming from. Yes, of course, the quarterback is going to have more of the focal point and more of the credit for the things that he does on the football field. But Leftwich obviously was there, you know, even before Tom got there. So when Tom arrived, it was a better marriage between the quarterback and the OC, and they have better production. So I'd say they both get a good amount of credit, but Tom definitely gets more because he's doing the actual throwing of the football.
Okay, so Fowler, it sounds like Ning says he does get a lot of the credit, but he deserves it all. What do you think about who's getting the credit and who deserves it?
Well, it feels like Tom Brady has got an adequate amount of credit throughout his career, so we'll safe to say he's good there. But I'm going to give credit to the Bucs personnel department. This is a team that has basically a top 10 player at every position. They're loaded. It's a quintessential one-piece-away team. A few years ago, Brady was that one piece. So we'll give him the proper amount of credit for being a really, really good 44-year-old quarterback, but no more than that.
Okay, fair enough. I can't believe we're giving Brady credit for anything at this point, because it feels like he goes somewhere and he touches gold. But I saw you shaking your head, Canty. What do you think?
Yeah, because Ninko should know better. This is a situation where in the NFL, anybody that's spent any time in the league knows that quarterbacks get way too much credit when they win, and they get way too much of the blame when they lose. Now, make no mistake about it, there are palm trees in Florida, so there's a little bit of shade in these comments from Bruce Arians toward Tom Brady, but I think it's more about being able to billboard or campaign for his offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich, and wanting him to get a head coaching gig. I mean, you look at the resume from Byron Leftwich, he's had the highest scoring offense since he arrived as the offensive coordinator in Tampa in 2019. And, oh, by the way, those three seasons, the highest scoring three seasons in Bucs franchise history. So it doesn't make sense that this man is not a head coach in the National Football League. Bruce Arians is doing everything he can to cape for his guy.
Ming, we see you raising your hand. Go ahead, jump
in
there.
I just want a cherry on top. Listen, okay, the credit goes to the quarterback when they win, yes, and when they lose, against the quarterback when they lose, because it's a hyper-focused quarterback league. If you don't have a quarterback, that's why they're getting paid so much money. So they went out, they got Tom Brady, they won a Super Bowl. It's exactly what you want. Leftwich will be a head coach. He will. Mark my words, he will be a head coach in the future, maybe next year, maybe 2 years, but he'll be a head coach.
Nico, who's not giving Tom Brady credit for winning a Super Bowl? Okay. There's nobody that's not giving Brady credit for winning a Super Bowl. It's just that there are so many other people that contributed to the Bucs' success, and Byron Leftwich is a key figure in that.
All right, we got more on this later on. Obviously, we can always talk about Tom Brady, but coming up, Patrick Mahomes lost one of his biggest weapons a couple of weeks ago. Does that mean the Chiefs will be big movers in the draft? Just under a month away from that NFL draft, we'll talk about it. Steph Curry and the Warriors haven't lit up the NBA in the second half, but why betting against them in the playoffs is done at your own risk.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up. Let's play a game of Fact or Foul with our own Jeremy Fowler here. And yesterday we saw Deebo Samuel wipe his Instagram. And so the question is, Deebo Samuel will not play without an extension. Fact or foul?
Let's go fact. This is a fact. He is their entire offense. When I was watching the playoffs last year, I said to myself this very thing. He is not showing up without a new deal. Produces nearly 30% of their touchdowns and their yardage. The 49ers know they have to make him a priority, and they will. It's just there'll be some bumps in this negotiation. It could get a little ugly, but I do expect it to get done.
Yeah, the bumps have already started. Let's go to Baker Mayfield. Will he end up playing in Seattle? Fact or foul, Fowler?
Jay, this is a foul ball. Unless he's released, I could see Seattle getting involved. There's just not a lot of momentum right now for the Seahawks wanting to pay his $18.8 million in guaranteed salary and giving up a draft pick to get him. They like Drew Lock, who they acquired in the Denver trade. They are trying to re-sign Geno Smith. They could draft a quarterback, too. So a lot going on in Seattle that doesn't involve Mayfield right now.
Where is he going to end up? Well, that is the question. All right, fact or foul, will the Chiefs move into the top 10 to draft a wide receiver?
Ooh, boy. I'm going to go fact. The wind gusts are kind of blowing this one foul, though. I do believe that the Chiefs are scouring the earth for wide receiver help. So are the Packers. So are the Saints. Could get involved here because there are really four top receivers. The Ohio State guys, Drake London, Jamison Williams. You have to move up to get a guy like that. So the Chiefs, I believe, will look into it, but it's also very steep to get up there, having to give up multiple first-round picks potentially. Chiefs know they have to rebuild their defense as well. So a bit of a long shot, but they're at least intrigued.
Okay, so the Chiefs already have acquired Juju Smith-Schuster, Canty, and MVS. Do you think they go through the draft to go get another top wide receiver?
Yeah, I think they're going to draft the wide receiver day one, but I don't think they're going to get overly aggressive and jump up into the top 10 to do so. The depth of the position in this class, I mean, Shea, you said that you believe that there are going to be a record number of wide receivers drafted in the first round. I think there's a strong chance of that happening. Mm-hmm. And so the reality is that the Kansas City Chiefs can let the draft fall to them. They don't have to be aggressive. They've got 2 first-round draft picks. They'll get a quality receiver where they're scheduled to pick in the draft.
Nink, what do you think? Do you think the Chiefs should move up to go acquire a top wideout?
I don't know if they have to. I mean, you look at their track record of drafting people in the second round. That's where they got Kelsey. That's where they got Hill from in the second round. So when you have that ability to go through the draft and look at your talent processes of, okay, how do we evaluate these players? And they've hit home runs on guys in the past. So, you know, for me, if they go in the draft and they say, okay, we're looking for a guy that can take the top off the defense, just run a vertical route, because you're not going to replace Tyreek Hill. You're not just going to go and get a guy and he's going to be a replacement that is similar to Tyreek Hill. There's a reason reason why he's one of the highest paid receivers, because he's special. But if you're looking for a young player to come in and is the future, so maybe 2 to 3 years from now he develops into a better player, great. So in his rookie year, you bring in a guy that can, that has speed, that you say, okay, go in the slot, hit your head on the goalpost, and hopefully the intermediate routes are opened up because of that. So in the first year, I think they have enough talent around this team, and they got Patrick Mahomes, you know, giving all the quarterback the credit here. So, you know, if you have the receiver core, that you got a young guy that's a fast vertical player, that might help the rest of your team out. So I think that they don't need to move up in the draft. I think if they could just trust the process that they've done in the past, they'll pick a good one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Chiefs have found a way to get some talent later on, and so we will see what they do. Obviously, the draft 3 weeks away, but there are a lot of different teams that need to go out and draft wide receiver. We've got an action-packed April coming your way. ABC Hockey Saturday. Check that out. Saturday, 3 Eastern, UFC 273. Saturday night, and then Sunday, you can check out Sunday Night Baseball between the Red Sox and the Yankees. It all goes down at 7 Eastern. Every April 15th is a special day in baseball, but this year it's the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson just shattering the color barrier and setting the stage for momentous change in society. Robin's efforts and influence extended well beyond America, and today a Detroit teacher who created the Black History 101 Mobile Museum shares a telling artifact of Robinson's activism. It's part of our series, Black History Always.
If you just see Jackie Robinson through the lens of baseball and that's it, you're missing a whole legacy. You're missing a whole person. You're missing a huge activist. If all he ever did was play baseball, that would have been enough. He understood his role as a Black man and that he had to open up other opportunities for people of color and to address issues of injustice in America and the world.
I want to share with you all what's really been my life's work for the past 31 years, traveling the country, collecting primary source material of American history that has not been given equal space in textbooks nor in museum spaces.
I was a middle school teacher in the Detroit Public Schools. I was using primary source material in my classroom to engage my students. And for me, it was taking this private collection I had and starting to use that in public spaces to teach people about Black history.
People often ask me, what is the most interesting or most dynamic artifact that you have in the collection? And this happens to be it. This document is signed by Harry Belafonte, Jackie Robinson, and Sidney Poitier.
They were a part of an organization called the African American Student Foundation in 1959. This letter documents their efforts to raise funds to bring over initially 81 students from Kenya in 1959. In subsequent years, from 60 to 63, they bring over literally hundreds of students to America to go to school. And one of the students that came to America went to school in Hawaii. He studied economics, he got married, and had a baby. This student, his name was Barack Obama, and the child that he had, he named him Barack Obama Jr. These are three iconic individuals. As men, they understood that it was their responsibility to open up opportunities for other people who did not have the same privilege as they had. So when they decided to help African students come to America during that time, they made an investment that was incredible, and it really changed the course of American history.
Khalid El-Hakim's collection of more than 10,000 artifacts continues to grow as he crisscrosses the country. You can find the touring exhibit schedule at his Black History Mobile Museum website. Please join us again next week as we count down till April 15th with another firsthand reflection in our series, Jackie to Me. Coming up on Get Up, the Warriors haven't looked really like the Warriors for much of the second half. So why would we think they will be for real in the playoffs? We'll answer that question next. This is Get Up.
We'll be right back.
All right, Masters yesterday, first round, Tiger Woods on the green was all the things. We'll start here with the sixth hole, par three. Tiger sitting at even on the day. He places his first shot of the hole right near the pin. Nice round of applause from the crowd, obviously. Tiger would tap in for birdie, get him one under on the day. So decent start, but he would have some trouble here now on the eighth hole. Third shot, par five. Tiger leaves the chip just a little bit short of the green. Yeah, that's not going to do it. And so Tiger clearly upset with himself. He would settle for a bogey, get back to even now. So 16th hole, birdie putt, still even. Drains that long birdie putt. Fist pumps, little Tiger celebration. Back to under one. 18th hole now. Tiger putt for par. Let's close out the day right there. He reads it perfectly. It rolls right in. And so here's Michael Eaves with Tiger after his first round at Augusta.
You got an afternoon tea time tomorrow. What will the next 16, 18 hours look like for you?
Lots of ice.
Ice is needed. I feel that, Tiger. Tiger scheduled to tee off a second round at 1:41 Eastern. Some other players to keep an eye on. Dustin Johnson, who was bogey-free until the 17th hole yesterday, by the way. Scotty Scheffler, who is minus 29 in the majors since the start of 2020, tied for the lowest cumulative score to par in major events over that span. Our coverage of the Masters, this year's first major, continues today at 3 Eastern on ESPN, the ESPN app. Second round from Augusta, ESPN Plus will continue that feature hole and featured group coverage the next three rounds, and SportsCenter's dedicated coverage continues through Sunday. To get ESPN Plus, just go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. But guys, we're going to get some eye candy because this is a good one here. Hornets on a fast break. LaMelo Ball with just a remarkable pass. Check this out. Through the legs, up. Woo! Nice alley-oop to finish things off. I mean, this is what you like to see. It's like a little, I don't know what you'd call it, dunk contest situation.
Let's get it to L.A. Let's get crazy here, MJ. Make it happen.
Really, you think? Burke, what do you think of this? A little LaMelo Ball action between the legs.
I love it. No, not to L.A. Don't do it, Jordan. Don't do it. Do not do it.
Starting rumors. Zach Lowe, what if LaMelo Ball had missed that, though? That maybe we wouldn't be as hype about it this morning.
What is LaMelo Ball? I didn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
That's all right. See, it doesn't even matter. The question was, what if he had missed? But we don't need to live in that what if land because it's better that he made it and we're all happy this morning, obviously. So let's stay here in the NBA because the Warriors beat the Lakers on Thursday night behind 33 points from Klay Thompson. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook all sat out for the Lakers while Steph Curry remained sidelined with a foot injury. The Warriors, they did get the win over the Lakers, but Golden State, they've not looked quite like a playoff team over the last few months. In fact, since the All-Star game, the Warriors ranked 20th in win percentage and points per game. Compare that to entering the break when Golden State had the second best record in all of the NBA. But it feels like these guys are kind of starting to figure things out. Look, I know this is a Lakers squad that wasn't playing the majority of their starters, and obviously they have nothing really to play for. But nonetheless, you have Klay Thompson now who scores 33. He's starting to figure out his footing. And so, Perk, how dangerous can this Warriors team be here down the stretch?
You know what? They're dangerous enough to make it to the semifinals. But when I look at the Western Conference and I look at the Memphis Grizzlies and I'm looking at the Phoenix Suns, I just can't put the Warriors over them. And I understand Klay Thompson shined on the Lakers, but who hasn't shined on the Lakers? He has not looked like himself consistently. And so when I look at their lack of depth in the inside, it's concerning to me because in the West, especially when you have to go against those athletic guards, you have to have somebody to match up with a guy like DeAndre Ayton for the Phoenix Suns. I know Draymond Green is a specialist, but you still need that center, that size and length to anchor your defense, and I just don't see it with Golden State. I really don't trust Andrew Wiggins at this point. And I know Jordan Poole, look, he's been phenomenal. We don't know when Steph Curry's going to come back, but like we talked about earlier, teams make adjustments. And so I want to see how he looks when actually he's actually that number one or number two guy or option in the postseason and the team is keying up on him because we already know that playbook gets about this thick come postseason time.
It's true. But, Zach, it feels like this is kind of a common theme with the Warriors. We're just waiting to see how healthy these guys can ultimately be. Perk saying he's got to wait to see what Steph Curry can give you here in the postseason. How dangerous is this Warriors team, perhaps, if everyone is at full health?
Well, first of all, 2 weeks ago, we were all in Memphis, Perk. you declared the Warriors' chances dead. So don't start resuscitating now. They were dead. It was over. They didn't have time to build their chemistry. And you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what you said. And you know what? Those concerns are valid because there's a lot of ifs with Golden State. If Draymond looks like himself, if Klay continues to get better, if Steph comes back looking like himself, if Andre Iguodala starts looking like himself, he had 7 assists last night. But you know what? I think enough of those ifs, let's say 60% of them, 70% of them, are going to tilt Golden State's way. They seem to be trending that way. Jordan Poole, he's legit. Andre Iguodala has looked pretty good since he came back. And if enough of those ifs tilt that way, and by the way, I trust Steph, and I think everyone's been way too hard on Klay this season. Klay shooting 38% from three on this kind of volume. After those two injuries, the dude is still a 5-alarm fire. If enough of those ifs tilt their way, I think they're the biggest threat to Phoenix in the Western Conference until absolutely proven otherwise. Nobody wants to play against this team. They play a style that is all their own, and no one wants to face them in a 7-game series. Do not sleep on the Warriors.
Zach, I'm going to go ahead and co-sign everything you just said there because the reality is, yes, those ifs loom large, but let's talk about those ifs for a second. Klay Thompson, if he can find his rhythm, well, he's gone for 33-plus in three of his last 5 games. So maybe Klay is trending in the way that we need him to, Perk. Let's go about that if with Draymond Green. If that back holds up, he's starting to log some minutes. 32-12 is what this team is when Draymond's on the court. And defensively, it's the best scoring defense in the league. And as for Steph, well, we just talked about Tiger Woods, didn't we, and what Tiger Woods is doing. I believe the greats are resilient, and they find a way. Steph's going to elevate it. And if all these things align with the emergence of Jordan Poole, who, oh, by the way, since the All-Star break, has the best three-point percentage in the league, shooting 43%, a lot of things are starting to align. American Gangster, one of my favorite movies. And what does Denzel say in that movie? It's a brand name. I stand by it. I guarantee it. 2015, 2017, 2018. If these stars play like the stars and the health is there, I stand by it. I guarantee it. This team is dangerous and can go on a very deep run and flip the West entirely.
What do you think, Perk? Last word here.
You know what? The disrespect to the Memphis Grizzlies has to stop. It has to stop because when we think about this young squad, right, yes, we always want to bring up experience and we want to talk about their youth. But listen, they're a bunch of young guys with old souls. And I don't know how much they have to prove to us. If a team show you who they are, believe them. And they've been playing well without John Morant.
No one's disrespecting the Grizzlies.
Yes, you are, because you said the only real threat in the Western Conference was the Phoenix Suns.
The biggest threat.
Okay, no.
All right,
no,
we're going to leave this right here because clearly it's the Grizzlies, Zach, it's the Suns, it's the Warriors, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on.
These
all right, okay,
champs.
Let it go. Just because you're here doesn't mean you get the last word. All right, we need to go. Meanwhile, on Planet Earth, because there's other things going on in the sports world. It was opening day yesterday in baseball, and Joey Votto was mic'd up. Gave us some gems. Take a listen.
Hey, Ozzy, what do you think about me getting a diamond tooth?
Go for it.
Okay, there we go. Go for it.
Go for it.
Okay. I'm gonna try really hard this year to try to work as little as I can, like rest as much as possible. Because the way I feel right now, I want to feel like this as much as I can.
Jessica Mendoza is going to be here with us on Get Up this morning, and so we're going to run the bases from opening day. And in his big league debut, Bobby Witt Jr. hit a go-ahead double in the eighth that proved to be the game winner. And Jess, how special can this kid be?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the fact that it's opening day and we get to see the young stars be on opening day, the energy when he walked up to that at-bat and then getting that huge go-ahead hit was big for baseball.
In case you didn't know, opening day also happened to align with National Beer Day. Remember that, because Seth Beer.
Of course it does.
Of course, hit a walk-off homer for the Diamondbacks. Jess, I loved this moment, especially because it was National Beer Day.
Does it get any better than this? I mean, opening day. I mean, they were chanting his name, by the way. Beer, beer, beer. As he was coming up to bat, he gets the big walk-off home run. Nothing describes opening day baseball than Seth Beer hitting a game-winning home run on Beer Day.
Okay, we're all holding our breath to see what would happen with Shohei Ohtani. He struck out 9 hitters across 4 2/3 innings, living up to that hype. Jess, how did you think he looked?
Oh, you know what the best part about this was? Is not only did he pitch, but then he went to the bottom of the first inning after throwing two amazing strikeouts to lead off the next inning. He was hustling in. It was like being a little league player. Watching Shohei do both sides is going to be fun to watch all season long.
No doubt about it. All right, Jess. So Ohtani did throw the ball well, but I feel like this is a common theme in terms of the Angels. You've got Ohtani, and then you've got obviously Mike Trout, but it never amounts to anything. Is this the year that it finally does in the postseason, perhaps, for this Angel squad?
They got pitching. I mean, that's the thing. You just mentioned their lineup. They got Rendon behind Mike Trout. They've always had the offense, but now they got Noah Syndergaard, and they have Mike Lorenzen to help Shohei Ohtani on the mound, because this is a team that absolutely can put up some runs. They can win games. They need to stay healthy, and honestly, they have to make the postseason. How do we not see the most remarkable player in the game that we've seen since Babe Ruth not in October? And Mike Trout, someone that we've talked about over a decade, has only played a few games in October. Absolutely, these players need to be there, but they haven't had the team around them. Going and getting Noah Syndergaard was absolutely huge. If he can stay healthy along with Mike Lorenzen, this is a team that will be playing in October.
Okay, good to know, and I hope so, because, yes, you want to see the best at the best moments, and that includes October. Let's stay in L.A. here. The Dodgers, they reloaded this offseason. They signed Freddie Freeman. Yet again, we're talking about the most talented roster in baseball. What are your expectations for them?
They got to win the World Series. I mean, Dave Roberts said it. This is a team that will win the World Series. Now, we all know, right? You come into the season, whoever is the best team on paper, they got to go on, win 162 games, and then get to October and be able to perform. But if you look at the Dodgers right now, re-signing Clayton Kershaw, being able to bring back Chris Taylor, and then, oh, yes, Freddie Freeman, one of the most dynamic first basemen that you will see in the game, coming over from the Atlanta Braves, and also, by the way, adding to their bullpen and bringing in Craig Kimbrel. But if you just look at this lineup, I mean, it is a joke when you think about Mookie Betts, you think about Freddie Freeman, Trey Turner. I mean, the list of names throughout this lineup is ridiculous. And oh, by the way, I think Walker Buehler is going to win the Cy Young. So they are ridiculously talented. If they don't win the World Series, it'll be a disappointment.
Okay, well, she's throwing out a lot of bold statements here, so I'm going to make you stand by this, Jess. You just said it's going to be a disappointment if the Dodgers aren't in the World Series. So who are your World Series pick? Is it Dodgers and?
I've actually got the Red Sox. The best team out of the AL East is going to be the Blue Jays during the regular season. But when they get to October, the Red Sox is a wild card team. Watch out for Alex Cora and how he manages a lineup in J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers. I mean, you're talking about dynamic, exciting players, especially in October. And oh, by the way, you talk about an addition, Trevor Story coming onto this team and now playing second base. And even though I don't have them to win the East, I have them once they get into the postseason, like we saw with the Braves last year. Mm-hmm. Watch Alex Cora work that magic.
All right, Dodgers and Red Sox, you heard it here first. Jessica Mendoza, thank you so much. I know this is an incredibly busy couple of days for you.
I love
thank
it, you. Though.
I love it, too.
Thanks, Shay.
All right, we got much more coming up here on Get Up. Bill Belichick seems to be taking an interesting approach to the Patriots' offense in the offseason. But what that is and how will it affect his young quarterback? We'll talk about it next on Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Get Up. Let's play a game of Can He or Can't He? I love this segment.
Let's do it, Shay.
I can't believe I'm about to ask this question, but I'm going to. Terrell Owens joined the fan-controlled football league. Can a 48-year-old T.O. play in the NFL?
Shay, he can. And as much as I love my former teammate T.O., I know he takes care of his body. He's meticulous in that way.
But he can't get out there and compete with those young guys. He just can't. I don't see Terrell Owens being able to help any NFL franchise. He can't play in the National Football League at 48 years
Thanks.
Old.
I didn't want you to be biased. I'm happy you just went with the right answer here.
I
How about
keep
this? Can he or can't he? The new Giants coach, Brian Daboll, save Daniel Jones' career.
Oh, Shay, this one hurts me. He can't, and I love Daniel Jones. The guy went to my high school, but listen, in the first 3 years, he hasn't stayed healthy a full season yet in his NFL career, and he's got 50 total touchdowns to 49 total turnovers. Bill Parcells used to say, I give a guy 3 years to show me what he can do. It's been 3 years, and it feels like we still have the question of whether Daniel Jones can play or not.
But there's been a lot of turnover at the coaching position. Nonetheless, let's go to Mac Jones here. Can he have a better season in his sophomore year? Can he or can't he?
He can, Shay. And listen, I get that the Patriots don't have an offensive coordinator, but guess what? Bill Belichick is still there, and he's got an established staff on the defensive side of the ball with his son Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo. They'll do more of the heavy lifting in terms of the defensive game planning, and then Bill Belichick will work closely with Mac Jones, as well as new offensive assistant Joe Judge.
Okay, offensive assistant is the key word there, because Mac Jones and the Patriots will have to play without an offensive coordinator, at least for the moment. And so earlier this week on this show, Dan Orlovsky expressed concern.
This is probably the most concerning thing that I have in the whole NFL right now. I mean, there are a lot of things that are incredibly important to a young quarterback, a second-year quarterback. One of, if not the most important, is have that same voice in your ear on a consistent basis. That guy that you're talking football to on a daily basis to help your development. Think about this. Like, Mac Jones gets Matt Patricia, who is a, I guess, failed defensive mind in the NFL, and he gets Joe Judge, who's a failed special teams mind. Like, that is massive, a massive issue for me.
I mean, it's hard not to kind of agree with what Dan is saying, but Nate, we're talking about Mac Jones here. You know Bill Belichick really well. Is it possible for him to just run everything at the offensive coordinator position in addition to being the head coach?
Yeah, Bill can do all things. I mean, Bill can do it. No, my concern isn't really for Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones is going to be perfectly fine with Bill every single day. He'll probably have to sit down with Bill, go through defenses, go through coverages, go through the offense, go through everything that a quarterback has to do. But my concern, kind of what Dan is saying about the direction and who do you look to, yeah, you're always going to look to your head coach. If you're a defensive player, if you're an offensive player, your head coach is at the front of the room every day. Now, on a consistent everyday basis, you know, offensive installs in training camp, in the regular season, there's going to be somebody different in the front of the room. And I think sometimes when you have multiple people, kind of a merry-go-round, so to speak, of different voices coming in and installing stuff, that could be a little confusing as far as the message and how things are done. So, you know, for Bill, he's going to be 70 years old. His birthday is April 16th. Happy birthday, Coach. At this point in his career, does he really want to have everything going for him? Just him. He's going to have to do the defense. He's going to have to do the offense. He's going to be the head coach. And, yeah, he can do it. He's done it in the past. But I think back to the years where he didn't have an offensive coordinator. 2009, there was not a named offensive coordinator. Then Billy O was named that next season, or defensive coordinator. There has been years where there hasn't been named coordinators. But, you know, I can keep my house awesome. I can keep my yard perfect. But guess what? I don't want to do all that stuff. I hire somebody to cut my grass, right? So you would think that he would want to have other people helping him along the way. So I think Mac Jones will be fine. I think the offense, I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, so here's what I know. I know that Tom Brady benefited from having Bill Belichick in his ear when he was a young quarterback. That's all fine and good. But Bill Belichick has never had to be the primary play caller for the New England Patriots, and it's setting up to look that way. Nink's right, he's getting older. Can he accomplish all of these things in one season yet still have a sophomore quarterback?
Shay, I haven't seen a head coach in the National Football League have more answers than Bill Belichick, and that's in part because he spent over 5 decades in and around the National Football League. The guy has seen a lot of football, so he'll have answers in terms of how to help his young quarterback. I'm not worried about the coordinator position not being filled on the offensive side of the ball. I know that Joe Judge is going to be working with the quarterback specifically, so that'll be the voice that's in Mac Jones's ear on a daily basis. The bigger concern that I have for that Patriots offense and for Mac Jones specifically is how they're going to replace those two guards that left in free agency. How are they going to replace Shaq Mason, who got traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? How are they going to replace Ted Karras? That is the interior. That is the fabric of the pocket. And you're talking about a guy that's not terribly mobile. So How are they going to keep Mac Jones clean is the biggest question that I have for the Patriots going into 2022.
Fowler, what do you think? Is it more concerning what they've traded away, or they don't have any more on their roster, or the fact that they don't have an offensive coordinator and Bill Belichick has to do it all?
Well, after asking around yesterday and this morning, I do believe it's a possibility that Bill Belichick calls the plays. And in fact, I think some of the players know that this is a possibility. I've talked to coaches who have worked closely with Bill Belichick who say at the very least, he will have more influence over how things go. And it's going to be collaborative. I think the Patriots coaches believe that play calling doesn't have to be just one person, and it's sometimes glorified in some cases, you know, like the new attractive OC coming in. It's different. They can do it as a team, and there's something strategic here as well. They don't want to tip anybody off that they have any sort of tendencies right now going into next year.
Right now, what month is it? April? We don't want to tip anybody off? What is going on here? All right, we can't mention Bill Belichick without mentioning Tom Brady. I'm about to do it right now. Coming up, since he arrived in Tampa, Tom Brady has delivered a Super Bowl to the Bucs in Tampa Bay. So why is this former coach saying he gets way too much credit? We'll talk about it next.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.